ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः शनै शनैरुपरमेद् बुद्ध्या धृतिगृहीतया शनै शनैरुपरमेद् बुद्ध्या धृतिगृहीतया आत्मसंस्थं मनः कृत्वा न किञ्चिदपि चिन्तयेत् So we saw this yesterday. So shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. May this person who is contemplative, the meditator, withdraw the mind, bring the mind, bring the attention back. No, how gradually shanai uparamet. May he withdraw the mind attention. gradually with intellect which has the will strong will which is capable of sustaining this journey of bringing the mind from each layer of personality to the natural personality original self then by analyzing each layer of personality, being with each layer of personality, analyzing, see the nature of it, understanding what it is, and shifting the eyesense carefully from that relative personality to the absolute original personality, which is the very person bringing oneself, one's own swarupam. So may one make this mind abide in one's own swarupam. And without allowing the mind to dwell upon anything else. Na chintayet. Kinchidapi na chintayet. See, thought here, using one's will deliberately, taking care of that not entertaining the other thoughts, dealing with other objects, and thereby deliberately dwelling upon, entertaining the thoughts, dealing with Atma Swarupam, which one has understood through the Shravanam, is actually contemplation here. Then, when the person is dwelling upon one's own Swarupam, definitely mind having its own nature, of this fleeting, when it goes again, whichever object it goes to, because it is of the nature of going away, then bring it that unsteady, fickle mind, may you bring that back again and again to the Atma Swarupam. Wherever it has gone to, from there, bring it back. Niyamya yet Atmanyeva Vashamnayet. So Atmanyeva Vashamnayet means what again? Seeing one's own Swarupam. Already we have seen what is Atma Darshanam, isn't it? Atma Darshanam, so Atmanyeva Vashamnayet, bring the attention back to the teaching. Bring the attention back, attention of the mind to the Atma Swarupam. As it we have, one has already understood clearly. So, this way Atma Darshanam itself is what now? Atma Darshanam is negating the Anatma as Anatma, seeing Anatma being Anatma, shifting the essence cognitively to the consciousness, the Atma, and taking ownership of the pure consciousness as one's own real nature. And seeing the Swarupam of consciousness as one's own Swarupam is the Atma Darshanam. We have already seen that. So that's what one has to do here. Now, 27th verse we have to see here. Here onwards, so how to remain in contemplation? Krishna has taught in this verse, he repeated in the previous verses. Now, again he is talking about the benefit of the Nididhyasanam. Benefit of the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Palam. What do I get as a result of this meditation? Nididhyasanam. So Nirvikalpaka Samadhi itself is actually benefit, isn't it? So here, he's saying, he's talking about the wise person. What happens as a result of Nididhyasanam? What is the benefit here? That is said in these verses.
Prashantamanasam hyenam, Prashantamanasam hyenam, Yoginam sukhamuttamam, Yoginam sukhamuttamam, Uttamam upaiti shantarajasam, upaiti shantarajasam, brahma bhutama kalmasham, brahma bhutama kalmasham.
So the person who is contemplative enjoys this benefit of knowledge. As we have already seen, contemplation does not remove ignorance. Therefore, contemplation is not a means of the attainment of knowledge. Definitely, Shastra Shravanam, the systematic study of the Shastram, under the guidance of the competent teacher for a length of time alone, in due course of time, definitely will result in the attainment of knowledge. But the jnanam, even after having attained the jnanam also, the jnanam will not, jnanam does not really give the benefit of the knowledge. Why there is no benefit of the knowledge? What is the benefit of knowledge? Because we study in this, the text, all the scripture everywhere, how a wise person is free from different problems. You know, we always hear the whole second chapter, if we take, there is a Jnani's Lakshanam. The beautiful verses. When we read those verses, the one who has the clear ascertained vision of the knowledge of vision of one's own Swarupam and who is free from all limitations, how a wise person is free from all limitations. How is Gurunapi Dukhena Na Vichalete? He is not shaken by even the worst of the pains, the worst tragedy also. And then he is always peaceful. No, and then in no situation he is really shaken. Dukhesha Anudvigna Manaha, Sukhesha Vagatasmruha. He is not dependent on any external situation for his happiness or security. We hear about wise persons. So who is this wise person? One who has this knowledge of the self. Not simply knowledge, one who has the ascertained, assimilated vision of one's own Swarupam being the Atma. Such a, we hear about the Jnani, but when we see, I also have done the Shastra Shravanam, I also have understood, my Swarupam being Atma, I also know all this here is Atma. There is no second thing. Logically, I have understood very clearly, without any contradiction, without being controversial, without any controversy, any contradiction, and I have wholeheartedly, I have been through the Shravanam, I have understood the teaching, so clear, no doubt at all, very clear for me. Everything is Brahma, Aham Brahma. I have understood this. In spite of that, in my day-to-day life, when I happen to face situations, dukkesh anudvigra manaha jnani, but every aham udvignaha bhavami, in every situation, I'm really, that I can see my behavior is not like a jnani's behavior. My behavior is completely different from what I'm supposed to be, what I should have benefited from knowledge. When this comes, then the answer is, Shastram says, you have understood, you have the jnanam, but you are not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Because what is that which obstructing the enjoyment of benefit of knowledge? No, there must be the flow of knowledge must be there for you to be able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. What is that jnanam from flowing so that you can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge? What is obstructing it? Isn't it? And that obstruction, before the jnanam also, you were free. You were free from all limitations. You were of the nature of happiness. You were of the nature of fullness. Whether you know or you do not know, you are always of the nature of fullness. You are always of the nature of happiness. You are always of the nature of limitlessness. You are always of the nature of eternity, timelessness, all pervasiveness. This, whether you know, you do not know, that is your Swarupam. Before Jnanam also you were that, but you did not know. Isn't it? Then what was obstructing your Swarupam from, for why it was not clear for you? Even though your Swarupam was happiness, fullness, you were always unhappy, because what was that which prevented your Swarupam from being evident to you, clear to you? It was the error in the perception of yourself. That error in the perception of yourself was caused by what? Ignorance. Before the jnanam, the error, it is the erroneous perception of yourself which was the obstacle, which was obstructing you from taking ownership of what you are. Before, the error was caused by your ignorance. Now you are no more ignorant. Now there is jnanam. Jnanam has resolved ignorance. In jnanam, ignorance is resolved. There is no more ignorance. Now what is still, something is obstructing. What is that obstructing? That obstruction also is caused by your same error. But this error is not caused by ignorance. This error is caused by your own habit, age-old orientation based habitual ways of thinking. Habit caused error. Because this habit is something very difficult to break. No, there is a certain way of looking at situations. There is a certain way of, there is an orientation, age-old orientation, and then a certain way of looking at situations, looking at the world, looking at one's own self. How you look at yourself, there is a way how everyone looks at one's own self. There is a way how everyone looks at the world, how everyone looks at the situations. Even how we look at Bhagavan, Ishvara. We have our own way of looking at Bhagavan also. Which means this is a certain way. And this has been there When did it begin? It has been there, Ajnanam, which is Anadi. This habit has been there from what? No, the time beginningless ignorance. Now, Anadi Avidya Vasanaya. It has been there timelessly. Ignorance has been there timelessly. This habit also has been there as a result of, no? Yes, it has been there. So, this, even after the Anadi also, this habitual, no? The ways of thinking result in what now? Error in my perception. And those errors, you know, serve as here big obstructing block from enjoying the benefit of this knowledge. Therefore, here what we need is this we have to change this way of thinking. I have to change my how I look at myself. But changing how I look at myself, I have to change how I have to see this world also. How I have to see Bhagavan, how I have to see every situation in my life. How to change this, which means every situation I have to see it in the light of Vedantic teaching. To carefully look into the situations. I'd look at myself also what? In the light of Vedantic teaching. I'd look at the world in the light of the Vedantic teaching. Because without the light of teaching, you can't see anything clearly. Only in the light of Vedantic teaching, you look at, then everything will start seeing differently. This change in perspective, isn't it? This perspective change, then will remove the error. Then you do not attain anything, you can enjoy, you can take over ownership of your Swarupam, you can enjoy the benefit of knowledge. That is why this, in fact, Vedanta also, we always say, when we look at this world also, when we see the people, for sometimes we think these people are problems for us, our family members are problems, our situations are problems. In the very expression, there is a problem, I have problems, these are all problems, that very expression itself is what? My way of thinking. Because in fact, the whole life, my life, amazing, so how Shastra looks at it, my whole life is nothing but expression of my mind. My mind is nothing but many thoughts put together constitute my mind. So, the ways of thinking. So, the way how I think, what thoughts I entertain, they constitute the mind. My mind, my thoughts expressed is my life. The words are also what I express, what I say, what I reveal, what my behavior is completely, is what expression of the way how I think, what I think. Therefore, if the behavior has to change, my words have to change, my perception has to change, then very thinking has to change. Very thinking has to change. And for that to change, it's not something you can done overnight. Any transformation will take time. That is why Vedanta Dhyanam, the Vedantic meditation, Vedantic teaching itself, painful, highly time-consuming, reassessment of one's own self, in which reassessment of one's own self, one should definitely say, I am happy, there is no problem. Where is the problem? Definitely one should be able to say that. Not by removing all the problems. When I have reassessment of myself, the reassessment of one's own self does not remove any problems. With all problems also, amidst the problems, without changing anything externally, without changing people, without changing situations, without changing the world, without changing anything, even without changing myself also, just changing my perception, I can say there's no problem. Isn't it? Definitely, this is what is, that's why it's very, very, the transformation takes very long. It's quite time-consuming thing. It's not that easy. I'm not saying it's difficult, it's easy, but what you need is, that is why this knowledge has to be, you know. We have to seriously pay attention to re-look into the situation, every situation in the light of the teaching. That is what is Nididhyasanam. So Nididhyasanam does not mean simply sitting in, you know, firmly. Doesn't matter how you sit. Even samam kaya shiro grivam dharayanna chalam sthiram. All those disciplines, how to sit, etc. Incidental, really speaking, once a shastra, you have done shastra shravanam, you are very clear, and doesn't matter, even when you are walking by yourself, sitting by yourself, all the time, you can really bring the teaching, just take the mind away from everything, just dwell upon the teaching, and be with yourself, learn to be with yourself, and look at situations which you think as a problem. Anything, there are certain problems, certain things which are simple, very, very simple issues, which you can take, light issues, you don't need to, simple alertness is enough. You don't need really, like a common cold is there, cough is there, simple alertness you need, okay, let me not go out, it is very cold outside, it's raining outside, let me have some simple things are enough. But if some serious problems are there, you have to really, you can't do that. You have to go to the doctor and have a prescription and get some medicines. If that's also not enough, if necessary, then get admitted and go for even more intense treatment. In the same way here also, look at any problem. Anything, how much you are troubled by the problem. How serious is the problem that you have? In keeping with that, pay more attention to that and analyze, see every problem in the light of the Vedantic teaching. That's the only way, if you analyze, you can definitely resolve that problem. In fact, we are not even resolving the problem, you will dissolve the problem. Dissolving the problem means, you are not solving the problem. Jnanam is not a solution for solving the problem. Jnanam, assimilated vision of your Swarupam, and then then having the right perspective of one's own self, with the right perspective, then when you see the world differently also, you don't solve the problem, you dissolve the problem. That is what Vedanta says here. No? In fact, this example he had given, I told you already, I think I gave the example maybe yesterday before. See, the sun is always bright. In the daylight, when there's a bright, brilliant sun, there are stars. But those stars are as good as non-existent. Not that stars are not there. Stars are very much there in the daytime also. Where do they go? They're very much there where exactly they were, they continue to exist. But they are as good as non-existent because they are overshadowed, completely covered, overpowered by the brilliance of the sun. Similarly, in assimilated, ascertained vision of the self, in right perspective, the perspective change, all our problems also get overshadowed, overpowered. Isn't it? That means, that's why I said we don't solve the problem, we don't resolve the problem, the problem becomes dissolved. That is the Nididhyasana Palam. Therefore, here, suppose suppose there's already constructed walls, and there's a constructed building here, suppose we don't like it, and I had to redo it. No, then what do I need to do? Again, I had to, but using the same old bricks, okay, I had to redo the same building. What choice do I have? It suppose I had to redo it means it takes very long time. Because reconstruction is takes very, is quite, it's very tiresome, very, it's a hard work, strenuous work, and also it consumes time also, time consuming. I have to take every brick, put it outside, again rearrange the bricks. Every brick has to be rearranged. Here, in the same way here also, all our thoughts. If my life is nothing but the bundle of the thoughts that I entertain, because of the way I think, in order to, if I have, my life has to change, my behavior has to change externally, I have to respond to the situations prudently. I have to act upon situations, respond to situations, you know, that I have to handle people means then my how to enjoy that inner leisure, how to have the objectivity, isn't it? Which means I'd have to change the very way of my thinking. Every thought has to be, no, I have to re-look into, have to really work on them, have to change them. That is why it's not that easy. Only in the light of Vedantic teaching, whatever I think as a problem, whatever I think as an issue, really I have to look into that in the light of, re-look into that in the light of the Vedantic teaching. So that my very, the whole way of thinking has to change, so that my expressions in terms of speech, in terms of my external behavior will also change. My response to the situations also will be different. That is what is Nididhyasana. Is analyzing my life. So the ways of thinking, I have to completely change my habitual ways of thinking has to be changed. That I can't do it myself, that in light of the Vedantic teaching. And for such a person who has now carefully lived his life, lived a life of contemplation, who lives a life of contemplation, how the ways of thinking, they change. Thereby his expressions change, the words he used change, and his behavior changes, his perspective changes, his response changes. What is that which changes? The people do not, the change is not brought upon the part of the people or their behavior or the world or situations or objects or things. Not even the change is not in oneself. The change is one in one's perception. For that change, for the perspective change to happen, one has to repeatedly look into every situation in one's life, every problem one has in one's life, in the light of Vedantic teaching. Suddenly, a small thing might happen. Even somebody else has got what I've been longing for years. What I worked very hard, I haven't got it, somebody else has got it. Choicelessly, then the jealousy might come. Even though you may be helpless, but still, then the jealousy comes. How to deal with it? How to look at it? It's not a problem. It's not a crime. It's very natural. There may be hatred. There may be anger. These things will come. When the anger comes, how are you going to deal with that? What that anger is? Why there is anger? Understand that in the light of the Vedantic teaching. Don't go to other person. Don't ask how to resolve the anger, because nobody else can help you. You have to look into this problem yourself in the light of the knowledge which you have gained through the Shravanam, Vedantic teaching. Jealousy comes. Any problem comes because it's a problem. And here again, suppose when these thoughts are there, that is why in Vedantic meditation means entertaining thoughts dealing with the subject matter of the Shastram. Entertaining the thoughts, dealing with subject matter of the Shastram means what? Also dealing with the Atma Swarupam, or dealing with the understanding of the nature of the Anatma also. So to know what I am not, what is it? What is its nature? So the way entertaining the thoughts dealing with the teaching of the Upashastra means then always there will be clarity. So thoughts are there. So in a meditator's mind, not thoughts are not there. Thoughts are definitely there. But what thoughts he has? Suppose even a wise person must be having the thoughts. Now the wise person means not a thoughtless person. So there must, as a wise person, one naturally has a spontaneous expression of love, there is compassion, there is kindness, there is care, there is warmth, there is mercy. There's a magnanimity, generosity, they're all thoughts. So when even knowledge, suppose knowledge of facts, when you listen to the talks, you understand some other things, the knowledge of facts, the facts which we know, which in the form of thoughts, all those thoughts are not disturbing thoughts. See, there are thoughts which are non-disturbing thoughts, non-pain-causing thoughts. So, non-disturbing, non-pain-causing thoughts in terms of knowledge, understanding, compassion, generosity, magnanimity, kindness, mercy, love, care, warmth, all these are what? So non-disturbing thoughts are, when they are there, then they make the mind light. Mind is not burdened with the heaviness of thoughts. Mind is light with all these thoughts. So these such thoughts which are light, which do not make the mind burdened or heavy, then such thoughts are called Shanta Vrittayaha or Sattvika Vrittayaha. No? Sattvika Vrittis. A wise person has these Sattvika Vrittis. But what about other Vrittis? Suppose jealousy. Jealousy, hatred, anger, greed. Such Vrittis are called what? Rajasa Vrittayaha. Rajasa Vrittayaha. Now, because this person, because of his all the time dwelling upon the teaching, carefully dwelling upon one's own sorupam and looking at the situations also in the light of the Vedantic teaching, this person is slowly able to have these thoughts, Shanta Vrittis. All his Rajasa Vrittis become what now? They become resolved. Understand? They become resolved. And such a person is called what? He's a wise person. And for him, he alone has the Shantihi. The three types of vrittis we have. Tamasa vrittayaha, like dullness, the confusion, delusion, and also the anger, hatred, jealousy, such vrittis, the rajasa vrittayaha. So they make the mind very burdened, heavy. The heavy mind is a suffering mind, isn't it? The light mind is a free mind. So here we say, the Shanta Vrittayaha, Rajasa Vrittayaha, Tamasa Vrittayaha, this wise person whose mind is withdrawn from the world, withdrawn from the situation, other things, anatma prapancha, which is dwelling upon one's own, which is involved in dwelling upon one's own sorupam, which is always, contemplation is not just dwelling upon one's own sorupam alone. Dwelling upon one's own sorupam, making it very clear, I am consciousness. And seeing everything else also what? Other situations and people, how any situation is determined by many factors, including Parabdha. The Parabdha is one of the factors which determines the situation. Not just Parabdha alone determines. There are many factors. So understand situations also in the light of the Vedantic teaching, and he can respond prudently, carefully, intelligently, at the same time objectively also. Objective, prudent, intelligent response is different from what? Thoughtless, subjective, internalized involvement, isn't it? Reaction. That's what is the... So such a person who is now clear, no? How this Nididhyasanam helps a person resolve these, you know, rajasika vrittis, rajasic thoughts, which burden, which make burden the mind, which make the mind heavy and pain, isn't it? Resolve. Shanta rajasaha we say, you are going to see that. And such a person alone, for him, sukham upaiti. Okay, better see this verse now. See, yoginam, uttamam sukham upaiti. Have you found that word? Yoginam, uttamam sukham upaiti. Uttamam sukham means what? The limitless happiness. This, the greatest. Uttamam sukham means there is nothing which can make him, you know, more, which can give him more happiness than knowledge, isn't it? Uttamam sukham means absolute peace. Absolute peace, the limitless happiness, the fullness, the peace. Uttamam sukham means the peace here. Absolute peace is uttamam sukham. The sukham, happiness, upaiti. Yoginam upaiti. Which means what? It goes to yogi. Which means the yogi has enjoys this uttamam sukham. This yogi does not go in such a sukham. Sukham goes to yogi. The absolute peace, the luxury, the sukham, the happiness, really the yogi has. Yoginam uttamam sukham upaiti. And sukham born of what here? Now the sukham which is not produced by knowledge, produced by anything, which is his own sarupam, which is his own sarupam, now it is evident to him. It is there for him. Because prashanta manasaha. Because he is a prashanta manasam. Prashanta manasam means the mind which is very light, peaceful, relaxed. It is not loaded with the heaviness of other unhealthy thoughts. Prashanta manasa means the quiet mind, the calm mind. Why the mind is calm, quiet, light, serene, tranquil mind? This tranquility of the mind is because of what? Because prashanta manasa, manaha, because manas, he has now, his mind is calm because he has resolved what all the negative, unhealthy thinking has gone now. Unhealthy thoughts have gone. They're called viparita bhavana. Viparyayaha means the entertainment of unhealthy thoughts, isn't it? The unhealthy thoughts are not there anymore. They've got resolved. They've been resolved now. He says, that's why it is prashanta manas, manaha, manasam. See, the absolute peace, happiness comes to him for the one whose mind is absolutely tranquil. Because shanta rajasaha. No? Shanta rajasam means what? Shanta rajasam means all his negative thoughts, rajasic vrittis, unhealthy thoughts, no, have been resolved. The one who has got his unhealthy rajasic thoughts resolved. In terms of what? Jealousy, hatred, anger. Where are they? Where? In Jnani's mind, there's no more jealousy. There's no more hatred. There's no more anger. There is only, understand, there is mercy, there is compassion, there is pity, there is warmth, there is care, there is love. But all these thoughts have gone. Where have they gone? Did he push them out or what? No. Did Jnanam kill them or not? No. They all got resolved naturally. It's not, no, he didn't get it overnight. Okay? No transformation can happen overnight. When we are born, we were 2.5 kilos or 2 kilos, and later on every day filling 3 times, 4 times, and possible more times also, filling, and we have, you know, increased. How? Over the years. Isn't it? Over the years we have increased, means physical weight, and mind is very subtle. So mental transformation needs what? A lot of feeding. A Shastra feeding, isn't it? Shastra teaching the my food for the thought. In the, not food for the thought means not reading any other book, okay? Not reading any good book and book of values and things. Reading subject matter of the Shastram, properly unfolded, well correctly understood, Shastra teaching which has been heard and stored and retained, and that Shastra teaching which is always there, now like chewed repeatedly, that food for the mind alone makes the mind healthy. It changes the unhealthy ways of thinking. Unhealthy thoughts have to be resolved. They are very unhealthy, sick. The really jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. make the person sick. He is a mentally sick person. That mental sickness, one who is free of the mental sickness of entertaining unhealthy the thoughts, rajasic thoughts, anger, hatred, etc. And Hachapur is called what? Shanta Rajasaha. Once they are resolved, means he has what? He has only other thoughts, light thoughts. Therefore, he is a Prashanta Manasaha. Understand now? He is a tranquil minded because he has got his unhealthy thoughts have been resolved, healthy thoughts he entertains. See, entertainment of healthy thoughts as a very natural thing makes him a tranquil, light-minded. Resolution of the unhealthy thoughts makes him what now? Shanta Rajasaha. Such a person, he says, Akalmashaha. Akalmashaha means what now? He's also free from all blemishes and impurities, and also the tamasa vrittis also. He's free from even there's no more delusion, there's no more confusion. There's a clarity. Isn't Akalmashaha means he is free from all impurities. Blemishes means he is also free from delusion, confusion. Why? Because how that is there here? Brahma Bhutaha. Brahma Bhutaha means what? One who has resolved his essence in limitless reality, Brahman, the consciousness. Understand? Which means one who identifies himself with Brahman, Atma, the consciousness. Which means by repeatedly doing this Swarupa Vichara, he has consciously, carefully shifted his essence from all the different layers of personality, the relative material personalities, and he has resolved that essence in consciousness. So that's what now Brahma Bhutaha means, becoming Brahman. Does that become Brahman? Isn't it? All recognizing his Swarupam being already Brahman is what? Becoming Brahman. How does it happen? How does he become Brahman? How does he shift this cognitive shift? How does it happen? Repeatedly dwelling upon the teaching. Dwelling is a result of the contemplation. Repeatedly dwelling upon the Shastra teaching helps him resolve his ahankara in the essence, in Brahman and helps him have a wrong, right perspective of himself, helps him have the right perspective of the world, and thereby his response to the world also with the right perspective. Understand? Therefore, he enjoys what now? Uttamam sukham, the everlasting. Isn't it? This absolute peace, the sukham, the happiness is there for him. Uttamam sukham upaiti means comes to him, reaches him. It's a literal meaning. Okay? He attains, means he has. So, it's all the adjectives for yogi. The yogi means the meditator. Here, meditator means meditating upon who, what? The contemplative person. The nididhyasakaha, the one who is contemplative. So, artha sarupa vicharakaha, the meditator here. So, you can say here, prashanta manasam, shanta rajasam, brahma bhutam, akalmasham, yoginam, uttamam sukham upaiti. Got it now? All other words are adjectives for the word yogi. Yoginam, no? The yogi. Uttamam sukham yoginam upaiti. The highest limitless happiness reaches him, goes to this meditator. I mean, what? He has it. Which means nothing. Where does it come from? Where does the uttamam sukham come from? When you say upayati means what? It goes near him. Eti means gachati. Upayati means what? Goes near. It goes approaching him. Now, highest limitless happiness, everlasting happiness, infinite happiness, peace goes towards him means what? Where does it go from? Where does it come from? Not from anywhere. It doesn't even come, no? His own swarupam becomes manifest for him. Is it? For everybody else, all of us, we have this sukham. Uttamam sukham everyone has. Ajnani has, jnani has. But it is blocked for ajnanis. It is blocked, unenjoyable for the ajnanis. And for people after Shravanam also, it remains unenjoyable. And blocking what is it which blocks this happiness from being enjoyed? The error in perception. Before jnanam, error caused by ignorance. After jnanam, habitual errors. Habitual way of thinking. That's why this every word is so beautiful here. Prashantarajasaha, akalmashaha, brahmabhutaha. Understand? Brahmabhutaha, akalmashaha, shantarajasaha, prashantamanasaha. And this is the yogi meditator. And him, what now? Flows the ananda. Not flowing him, but he can take ownership of this sukham as his own swarupam, which does not come, does not go, does not change. That is his very sukham. And with that perspective of his own swarupam being as atma, the consciousness, as his swarupam being happiness, and that for such a person, there is no sense of inadequacy, there is no sense of limitation, sense of smallness centered on I, therefore there is nothing comparable for him. He is not dependent on anything in the world also. Therefore, where is the jealousy? Where is the hatred? All these problems can be there only when the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I is triggered. The external world, the external situations, people around can be instrumental for the triggering of the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy in every mind only if there is ajnanam, isn't it? Where all the time shastra, the subject matter of the shastram is all the time is chewed, in which mind it is contributedly chewed, there these external situations cannot trigger this smallness. Why? Because the smallness is not there. Whatever situation, nothing can trigger this smallness in you because you have already resolved the smallness. Isn't it? This sense of smallness must be in your subconscious, then anything else can trigger. Whoever gets anything, there's no jealousy comes here. Why? Sense of smallness is not triggered by anything in the world. If there is sense of smallness and inadequacy, it will be triggered. Every small situation will trigger that. It will surface. It will cause pain. It will result in anger. It will cause jealousy. Therefore, this is the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, this insignificance, which is centered on I, they have to be resolved. When they are resolved, because of the shifting of the I from anatma to atma, helps you resolve the problem, then what happens? No situation can really trigger that problem. It is not there. It has been resolved. When it is not triggered, then there is no such, all these rajasa vrittis become resolved. How to resolve the rajasa vrittis? Really speaking, world is not we think, because that person got the prize before me, and then I couldn't get it, I worked very hard, that is why I'm really jealous of the person. Even you can say that, really speaking, even not that person's accomplishment is responsible for triggering of your jealousy. Your jealousy is expression of your sense of smallness and on I, which is triggered, for which other person's accomplishments and success becomes nimittam. So if you resolve it in the wake of, by shifting the ahankar, I sense, from anatma to atma, if it is resolved for good, whatever happened in the world, nothing can trigger anything, because it's not there for you. Understand? This is what we say, making them powerless. They are not there. Understand? This is why Shastra Jnanam really, first initially make them weak, then resolve them for good. When the Ahankara is made thin, thinner and thinner and thinner, weaker and weaker, then resolve in Jnanam. Then when the Ahankara is resolved for good, all these thoughts also which are made powerless become totally resolved. Do you need to give them up? Do you give up ahankara? Do you need to give up jealousy, hatred, anger? No. They'll all resolve. So this wise person, this meditator, the one who is dwelling upon, one whose mind is withdrawn totally from everything else, all the time one whose mind is involved in contemplation upon the Shastra teaching, can look at himself correctly, look at the world properly, look at situations properly, can respond to the situations properly, such a person, uttamam sukham upaiti. And he is shanta rajasaha. All his rajasic thoughts have been resolved. Prashanta manasaha. Quiet minded, because he entertains only sattvic thoughts. Prashanta manasaha, shanta rajasaha, akalmashaha, and for him all that is there is Brahma, and Swarup means Brahma. One who sees only Brahman, one who sees Brahman as his own Swarupam and sees everything as Brahman, he is Brahma Bhutaha, one with Brahman. So for such a person, there is only Sukham, which does not come from elsewhere, which is his own Swarupam. Because the question is asked, why should I contemplate upon? If you want to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, contemplate upon the teaching. you have not heard the teaching properly, please listen again. Repeatedly listen, listen, listen. In fact, Sureshwar Acharya says in one context, if you think you can't contemplate upon, meditate, know what you do? Repeatedly listen. At least make your firm, use your strong will not to miss the listening. Punaha, 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 repeatedly listen. And every time the teacher is teaching you, and when you can say that, the very class can become contemplation for you. Every time you are listening, you are consciousness. You can say what? I am consciousness. You are free from dukkham. I am free from dukkham. You are free from, you are free from smallness. Then in the class itself can help one serve as contemplation. He says, which means contemplation is important. Contemplation has to follow shravanam and mananam. Otherwise, still you will be what now? Ashanta manaskaha. Because ashantasya sukham nasti. Understand now? There is no happiness. There is no peace of mind for the, understand? For the person. There's no luxury. There's no sukham. Happiness is not there for the disturbed minded. Disturbed minded is the one who is burdened minded. Whose mind is heavy, loaded. Now, who is the one whose mind is loaded here with heaviness? Heaviness of the unhealthy thoughts. And unhealthy thoughts are something you can't help it. They'll be there. They're something unnatural, incidental. Actually, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, even the a physician, a doctor, we always think, no, the doctor really cures my, doctor gives me health. Vaidyaha arogyam nadadati. No, the doctor does not really give you health. He only cures the illness, isn't it? The health is very natural. Health is natural. Being healthy is very natural. What does he give then? He gives medicine, and the medicine removes, medicine does not give you health. Medicine removes the illness, disease, by destroying the whatever bacteria or microbes that are sitting there causing this problem. It only kills that. So removal of the microbes, how is removes the disease, then you regain your health. He does not give health. The same way here also, your sukham, the happiness, peace is your very natural swarupa. And what is intrinsic sukham? So ill health. Now, this disease, mental disease, sickness is something which is incidental because of this microbe called ajnanam. So you need Jnanam is the medicine, Bhagavan is the Bishak, the doctor Vaidyanatha Swami has to give you the Bheshajam of Jnanam. No? Knowledge is the medicine he gives. The Piravi Pinineekum Marund, we say that, no? Jnanam, knowledge is the medicine, and this medicine removes only what? Does not give Sukham, it removes the ignorance. And ignorance caused illness. Microbe caused illness, then what you had regained is your own swarupa. This is a wise person, which means the emphasis is on taking care of one's ways of thinking. First thing, I understand there is no problem in the world. There's no problem in people's behavior. There's no problem even with the people or situations or things. No, any problem, then whatever is the problem, son is a problem, daughter is a problem, who make me feel loaded and heavy, or my friends, or relatives, or neighbors, whether workplace, or at home, or anywhere else, every situation, re-look into every situation in the light of teaching. You will see slowly, you don't change situation there, situation being as it is, you change your perception here, there is no problem at all. Understand? That's what the teaching says.
Yunjannevam sadatmanam, yunjannevam sadatmanam, yogi vigata kalmashaha, yogi vigata kalmashaha, sukhena brahma samsparsham, sukhena brahma samsparsham, atyantam sukhamashnute, atyantam sukhamashnute, yunjannevam sadatmanam, yunjannevam sadatmanam, yogi vigata kalmashaha, yogi vigata kalmashaha, sukhena brahma samsparsham, sukhena brahma samsparsham, atyantam sukhamashnute,
okay. So here, evam, thus in this manner, yogi, the meditator. So in Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter and in Vedanta, when Bhagavan uses the term yogi, remember yogi here is the one who is dwelling upon the Vedantic teaching, who is dwelling upon one's own Swarupam, who is looking into every oneself and the world and situations in the light of teaching. What I am, what this world is, what these situations are, what these problems are, what this problem is, what these thoughts are, why the mind has these problems. When you have headache, immediately run to the doctor and do the needful. Same attention has to be paid. If there's a jealousy, immediately we should take care of it. Why it has come? We never pay attention to this. Backache comes, headache comes, palpitation comes, immediately go to the doctor and we ask for a solution, that we go for blood test and go for x-ray and scanning and then get the medicine, take care of the physical body. In the same way, when jealousy comes, immediately you feel so burdened, who should be approached? Dakshinamurti and Shastram. Understand? Immediately go to Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna, Jagadguru, sitting from a Bhagavad Gita, take the Bhagavad Gita. Understand? Which may not, yes, of course, you have heard already from teachers, then you re-look into it. Why this is? That is the medicine. Immediately go to Shastra, Shastram, take the, okay, on dose. Take one verse of Bhagavad Gita, 3 words. That's why, Bhagavad Gita, kinchidadhita. Very important. We have to see, we never care. Or fear comes. Something else, some anxiety comes. Anxiety comes. Immediately should take care of it now. Why there is anxiety? This is the fear. Because of the son, because his boy, because the occasion, what's going to happen, how will it happen, it okay or not, anxiety comes. Immediately look at that anxiety also in the light of Vedantic teaching. Understand? We don't go for the dose of Shastram to look into our analysis of situation. It's very important. It's the only way. So, in fact, the life is definitely unpredictable. Life, all the situations are unpredictable. All our, sometimes uncontrollable also. Sometimes predictable and controllable. Sometimes unpredictable and uncontrollable also. This is what the situations are. So before the jnanam, the unpredictable, uncontrollable situations causes a lot of anxiety, isn't it? But now same unpredictability does not change. Unpredictability of the life and situations continues to be there, but you are ready to face that unpredictable, the fluctuations, full life, what now, without any anxiety. That freedom from anxiety is what? Shant uttamam sukham, jivan muktihi, no anxiety, no fear. We mental health, we don't take care. So meant to really, for you to self-help, for you to take care of your mental health. In fact, having the mind is, peaceful mind is, after all, you want jivan mukti means what? It's all in your mind, isn't it? See, all these rajasa, tamasa, vrittis are resolved for good. Finished. How can you do that? That's what jivan mukti. You need to have always what now? There's a box of ready paracetamol, ready aspirin, ready painkillers you have, but here ready one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Understand? Not one verse of Bhagavad Gita. I'm just telling. Readily, immediately, any small disturbance comes, immediately do some japman, sit and immediately do that. In fact, it's not that one day doing, okay? Like how every day you eat 3 times a day, make it a point. That is why once spend your time, definitely quality time for shravanam. Once you have done enough of shravanam, then again relive the shravanam. There's no time you can keep yourself away from shastra. How long? Until Brahma Bhuta. Understand? Until you see everything as Brahman. See yourself as Brahman, then see everything else as Brahman also. Then you see only Brahman. Then you can say what? Then like second chapter, the verse in second chapter, all the Shastram, all the Vedas, all the books are like what now? Like the floods, like how the reservoir full of water in the place of floods, how it is used, the reservoir full of water is useless in the place of floods. Similarly, all the Shastram becomes, they have served the purpose, they are no more useful for a wise person. Okay. So here what he says is, yogi, this meditator, sada, vigata kalmashaha, being free from all impurities, sada atmanam yunjan. Why sada yunjan? The word sada, always dwelling upon the teaching, always dwelling upon one's own sorupam, always looking at situations, in the light of the teaching. Sada yunjan means, because no transformation can happen overnight. Therefore, constantly, consistently, one has to, with patience, one has to be with the Shastram. Dwell upon the Shastra teaching. Any therapy takes place, even the psychotherapist or psychoanalyst, when the people come to the therapist, how long it takes? Hours. That's why they charge a lot also. A psychotherapist will have lots of patients to listen to this person. And then the therapist means, because he has to pour out the whole thing, even psychiatrist, psychotherapist, psychoanalyst, all those people who deal with the minds of other people, it takes time consuming. And here you are a self-psychotherapist. What now? But in the light of, you don't do therapy yourself, that you in the light of Shastra teaching, you analyze your own mind, your own ways of thinking. For a Shastra teaching is the therapy here. Understand? Shastra therapy. And for which you do Shravanam and you have the knowledge and you do therapy for yourself. And it is time consuming. That's why I say it's a very painful, time consuming re-self-assessment. It was Sada. Sada means what? Don't hesitate how long it takes. 40 years a husband, don't worry, very good husband, 40 years. Other people have had to spend 40 years. Actually, you don't need to spend 40 more years. You have saved that time. It's worth spending. Now again, spend some more time, no problem. Whole life is for that, in fact. Sada, until vision becomes assimilated, Sada Yunjan Yogi. Then what happens? Vigata Kalmashaha, when he really becomes free from impurities, when his unhealthy ways of thinking becomes, you know, changed, when he resolves all his negative, unhealthy, rajasic thoughts and impurities, also then Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham Atyantam Sukham Ashnute. Same thing is repeated here. Sukhena Brahma Samsparsha means, then for him it's not very difficult for him. He can easily shift his eyesense. Now Brahma Samsparsha means what now? He makes contact with the Brahman. There's not physical contact here. It's a cognitively seeing the I being nothing but consciousness, isn't it? See, Jala Sparshaha, no? Jala Samsparshaha means what now? For a wave. Wave has Jala Samsparshaha means just wave being resolved in water, recognizing the truth of the wave, you know, wave as water is what? Jala Samsparsha. Like that here also. The knower, experiencer, there is no experiencer, knower, there is no I other than consciousness. This understanding is necessarily, definitely, I, the knower, definitely is not the body, not this thing, definitely I am consciousness. This shifting, the cognitively shifting the I sense, not dragging it fast, but gradually, thoughtfully, no, bringing the I sense from, shifting it from the anatma to atma and resolving the I sense in consciousness, knowing clearly I is consciousness. I am consciousness, and a consciousness, I am free from all limitations and problems. I am of the nature of fullness. There is no problem for me. There is no inadequacy. The understanding is what? Brahma Samsparshaha. Understand? And in this vision, he has what now? Atyantam Sukham Ashnute. He enjoys the limitless happiness. Means happiness is not an object of enjoyment for him. Is not a time-bound pleasure born of the external situations or objects of pleasures also. He takes, it is Sukham Ashnute means, for him Sukham becomes happiness, fullness, peace becomes his own. He is his own Swarupam, which he takes ownership of as his own real Swarupam. The Swarupam which was prevented from being manifest is now made easy. Isn't it? The block is removed. It is manifest for him. So, Atyantam Sukham Ashnute. Then afterwards, he has only Sukham. So, Atyanta Sukha Ashanam. So, enjoyment of everlasting, you know, peace and happiness. Is it? Non-arriving, non-departing, unchanging, everlasting peace and happiness is possible when? Only when you have Brahma Samsparsha. Only when you recognize yourself being consciousness, which is the truth of the whole. Isn't it? In resolving your identity with reality. And for which, what do you need? Sada Yunjan. Always dwelling upon. See, we are very tired. Only in the morning for some time, half an hour, 20 minutes, means what? You can be involved in anything, But there must be quality time spent for the contemplation. Contemplation does not mean that you have to sit and close your eyes and then without moving an inch you have to be doing it or anything. Just, doesn't matter where you are, just being yourself, taking the attention from everything else, just seeing what the Shastram says about me. How Shastram is non-contradictory, how it is non-controversial, and how Shastram looks at the world. Isn't it? What Shastram talks about the world, how Shastram talks about the situations, the behavior, the thoughts, isn't it? Just understanding everything, seeing everything, re-looking into everything in the light of the teaching. That is why Vedantic meditation is impossible without the study of the Vedanta Shastra. There's no dhyanam. There's no dhyanam at all. We never ever talk about meditation without the Shravanam. Otherwise, you're doing something, some other discipline, just to keep, to be temporarily relaxed. Are you interested in temporary relaxation? That you can do something, some physical, some mental exercise. But dhyanam means definitely this is the that everlasting peace, everlasting happiness, isn't it? The vision of the truth for which meditation means dwelling upon the teaching, Vedantic teaching. Which, how can you dwell upon the teaching if you're not exposed to the teaching? Shravanam is so important here. Understand? Anyway, before Atyantam Sukham Ashnute, I want Atyantam Sukham, we all want. We all want everlasting peace and happiness. But we are not interested in Brahma Samsthitam. We are not interested in knowledge. Not simply knowledge. Shravanam alone is not enough. After Shravanam, you have to work hard. All the time. All the time. You have to see yourself in the light of, don't see yourself through what you have, what you are. What you are actually. See yourself through, isn't it? In the light of, through the teaching. We see ourselves through what we have, what we own, what we possess, our degrees, our jobs, and the money we have, the bank balance. We're leaving us in all of them. See yourself through Shastram. Wearing the spectacles of Shastram. See yourself, everything. Everything looks different. My God, I am different. This is different. Everything looks different. Then, all the beautiful verses are following. Sarvabhotasthamatmanam Sarvabhotasthamatmanam Sarvabhutani chatmani Sarvabhutani chatmani Ikshate yoga yuktatma Ikshate yoga yuktatma Sarvatra samadarshanaha Sarvatra samadarshanaha. Now he says, this person who has the vision of, the clear doubt-free vision of the truth of the whole as his own sarupam, as his own self, wherein he has resolved his essence, ahankara, for whom the self is not anymore the physical personality, not anymore the emotional personality, not anymore the intellectual personality. For him, I is not anymore the body or mind, sense organs. For him, I means consciousness. Understand? But still, he is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. He's relatively transacting in the world. Okay, he's dealing with situations, but with objectivity. Therefore, for such a person, not only for him the self is the consciousness. There is nothing which is not Brahman, the reality. For him, all that is there is only Brahma. Okay, there is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no second parallel reality other than Brahma. Understand? Which means Brahman is Ekam. Ekam means Advayam. Advayam means he is Advitiyam also. Understand? That vision of Jnani is, which is the benefit of Nididhyasanam again. So first he said Jnani is a freedom, and in free Jnani as a free person, being free from all limitations, seeing oneself being a limitless reality, and how does he see this? How, what is there for him in the world? Sarva bhutastham atmanam. Sarva bhutani archa atmani ikshate. This yogi, this meditator, yoga yukta atma. This meditator who has resolved his ahankara in his own sarupam, the consciousness, and one whose mind is, abides in his sarupam. Now one whose attention remains absorbed in his sarupam. They were resolved in that vision also. Yosaha yoga yukta atma. Yogena yukta atma. Yukta atma means what? The one whose mind is free from ignorance. The one whose mind is resolved, mind remains absorbed in the swarupam. Isn't it? Tacha person, yoga yukta atma. He sees, ikshate, he sees. Now, he sees means what? His seeing is different from others, how others see it, isn't it? How an ajnani sees, jnani's seeing is different from how ajnani sees the world. Ikshate, with a different perspective, isn't it? He has a different perspective now. Jnani ikshate, sarva bhutastham atmanam ikshate. So he sees himself, his own self, the consciousness, as the self of all the beings. Because every knower, every eye, obtaining in every mind, the seer, the knower, the experiencer in any being is nothing but consciousness. Whether the light illumining this opaque, that opaque, that opaque, there are so many opaque things are illumined, but the illuminator of every opaque thing is one and the only light. Similarly, the reality which obtains as the knower, seer, experiencer, observer in every mind, in every being, if at all, wherever you see any experiencer or the knower, that knower, the truth of I in every being, the innermost essence of every being is none other than consciousness. There is no doubt for him. Just by knowing his swarupam, he is so confident there is no seer other than consciousness. That is the beauty of this knowledge, isn't it? That's why you don't need to go and see everybody. What is the seer in Rodneyji? Who is the seer in you? Who is the seer in other person? No. Once I know, here in my own mind, if I can understand my swarupam being consciousness, doubtlessly, it becomes so clear by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were, means what? All the Atma, the self, the innermost essence obtaining in every being, being one and the same consciousness, becomes very clear for him. This way, how many Atmas are there? We don't need to ask. There is only Atma, the self of all the beings, the absolute self. So, sarva bhutastham atmanam ikshate. Got it? Then, sarva bhutani cha atmani ikshate. And he sees all the beings in that all pervasive reality, the consciousness, which alone obtains as the innermost essence of every being. Atmani, in the Atma, the consciousness, he sees all the beings, and he sees consciousness as the innermost essence, the truth of all the beings also. The self of all the beings is consciousness, and all the beings are in consciousness. There is no being. No being, there is no object, there is no subject, there is nothing which exists outside of consciousness. It's called what? Sarva bhutastham atmanam ikshate. Sarva bhutani atmani ikshate. He sees all the beings in one's own self. And he sees one's own self as this in all the beings. For one to see the one's own self in all the beings, to see all the beings in one's own self, for him what must be the self? The self is not the this annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha and thing. Self is consciousness, which is distinct from all person, all the, distinct from all the layers of personality. Such a person, sarvatra samadarshanaha. Isn't it? Sarvatra samadarshanaha. Even though inequality, there is inequality in the world. Isn't it? Inequality is something inevitable. Tarutamyam is inevitable in the anatma prapancha. But the standpoint of the truth, there is all, everything is what? Only Brahma. Samadarshanaha. He sees in and through the only reality behind everything, underlying reality being one and the only Brahman, the consciousness, which is the Atma. Therefore, samadarshanaha. All are different, but all are not equal, but all are one. Everything is one. And non-living things, a living thing, mobile, immobile, elements, elementals, all that is here, I, you, he, it, she, all the pronouns indicated objects, all of them are resolved as what mithya in only reality, Brahman. And for him, all that is here is only Brahma, Paramatma, sarvatra samadarshanaha. Understand? Let us read this verse and then we can conclude.
Sarva bhutastham atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani, sarva bhutani chatmani, ikshate yoga yuktatma, yoga yuktatma, sarvatra samadarshanaha, darshanaha. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.